Today, we want to look at this thought. We will never know victory in our lives until we submit to delegated authority. A few years ago, however long it's been, 3 or 4 years, when COVID hit, the governor, the mayor, different authorities began to tell us, you can't have church. And I'm feeling a little rebellious. I said, no government has the right to tell a church they can't meet. You ever heard of freedom of religion? Yay. And what about COVID? Well, I have a right to go to church and get sick if I want to. Yay. But anyway, I'm driving up the expressway to come to church, and the Lord spoke to me as clear as day. He said, I want you to submit to authority. And I want you to stream these services, which I didn't want to do, because I knew a lot of you would stay home. And that's okay. We'd rather have you there than not to have you. So thank you for being watching by live stream, being a part of the service today. Keep it up. And every now and then come into church so we can see you. How's that? Is that a pretty good deal? But anyway, the Lord said, I want you to submit to authority, stream these services. In other words, preach to empty seats and stream the services, and you'll reach more people then than you do now, and put it on the radio. And so, boy, that has been true. We've got people in other states that used to come here and moved away, so now they have rejoined the church and even started paying tithes from other states. And my mother has joined the church in Georgia. She watches on live stream. So God has really used this in a mighty way. I tell some people the best thing that ever happened to us is COVID. Even during that time, God blessed the church financially even more than he had before. And it's just incredible to watch God move. But listen, God expects us to submit to authorities he's placed over us. There's a man here in the church. You see, all authority belongs to God. But God delegates authority to people. And a lot of times we think of authority, we think of the policeman or the governor. But actually, authority in our lives comes from a lot of other sources. Our boss is an authority. Can you say amen? Mom is an authority. Dad is an authority. The school teacher is an authority in our lives. The principal is an authority in our lives. The pastor is a delegated authority, not to rule over us, but to teach us the word of God and train us how to walk in victory and to lead us and guide us into the perfect will of God. And so in that situation, we just need to listen. Have you did not listen to your mother and you wish now you had? God put her there as an authority to keep you out of trouble. There was a man here in the church years ago, it's been many years ago. He kept getting fired. And I would hear him talk. And he even talked to me. He says, well, that boss, he comes bossing me around. And I just tell him I'm not going to do it. He says, move that box. He says, I've already moved it. I'm not moving it again. And then he would get fired. So he came to my house. He said, I want to know why I keep getting fired. I said, well, I'm going to tell you. You ask me, and I'm going to tell you. Now, he's about 5-6 inches taller than me. Has broad shoulders and big arms like I have by faith. And I realized this could go south really quick, or I could go to the hospital. And so I said, okay, I'm going to tell you. I says, I've heard you say, and you've told me, that your boss asks you to do something and you tell him you're not going to do it. I said, that guy's paying you to work. And you need to submit to his authority and do what he asks you to do. If he tells you to move a box 10 times, you move it 10 times. Don't question everything he asks you to do, unless it's something immoral and ungodly. You do what he tells you to do. He is your authority in that job. And he says, you're right. Let me know I'm always right. Always. You don't believe it? Just ask me. I'll tell you. I'm right. But the truth is, I was right that time. And I never heard I haven't seen him in years, but I've never heard of him being fired again. You've got to submit to authority. And if we had listened more to our mothers, a lot of us would have a lot less problems right now. That mother is your authority, is an authority. I still see my mother's authority, and she's 100. March this month, the 22nd, she'll be 101. I still listen to her. Amen. Yay, Geneva. But anyway, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. That's what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 2. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Rebelling against authority can get you and me in big trouble. When we rebel against authority, we rebel against God. Now, if an authority has asked you to do something, it's immoral, ungodly, then that's different. You cannot submit to that because God's word is the highest authority. Amen. When we rebel against authority, we rebel against God. Verse 4, for he is God's servant to do you good. All authority is given for our good to protect us and keep us out of trouble. My mother, she had eight children, and she realized she had married into bad blood. An uncle is in prison. My dad was tried for attempted murder when he was 15 years old, and she knew her only hope of keeping her kids out of jail was discipline. And boy, she was. She watched over us. She protected us. She kept us out of trouble. And if we rebelled, she would strap our legs with a little hickory. And she told me once, go get me a hickory. I'm going to give you a whipping. So I went and got the smallest one I could find. It's about that long. Brought it back. And she said, boy, you go get me a big one, a long one. Now, she never hurt us. But she knew she had to put the fear of God in us. I'm afraid of that woman to this day. Amen. And all the rest of us are too. But it's not the kind of fear you're thinking of. It's a reverent respect. The seven of us is still alive. We worship the ground that one walks on right now. Because we know we owe her everything. She kept us out of trouble. Authority. Amen. See, we think of a policeman. Mom, you're an authority. And it's not abuse to discipline your kids. It's abuse not to. It's abuse not to. That nature needs to be brought under control. Man is not basically good. The second humanist in Marx is aligned to us. Is not basically good. That little guy needs to be disciplined. If he's properly disciplined, even though his nature may not be changed yet, he can really be pretty nice. Amen. This is also verse 5, where did I get to? If you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment to the wrongdoer. And as I've studied the Bible over these years, that's about the only major thing in the Bible I can see that God expects of the government, is to protect us from criminals, from demons and devils in human form, and to protect us from foreign adversaries. That's their number one job. It's not the government's job to feed me. It's my job to feed me and my family. It's the government's job to provide a safe environment so I can work and provide for my family and not be murdered. Read the Bible. That's what it says. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment to the wrongdoer. Verse 5, therefore it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. We need to have a respect for those in authority in us, that when we do not show proper respect, we feel a little bit of guilt. And repent and ask the Lord to forgive us. Verse 6, now if you have a spirit of rebellion, you're going to hate this. But we need to get rid of that spirit of rebellion before it ruins your life. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. The IRS is a servant of God. Yay. We have some people there that may abuse that authority, but God has ordained those in authority. Can you say amen? Amen. Who give their full time to governing. I think that's interesting because God tells us to pay our tithes to the church so the pastors and the employees can have a salary and get paid. And then he says, here you pay taxes so those who are in government can be paid. Isn't that interesting? Tithes to the church, taxes to the government. Give tax in honor and reverence to whom it's due. If we ignore those authorities, we can bring tragedy, punishment, and even a sword into our lives. But if they ask something contrary to the word, we do not submit to that. God's word is the highest authority. Just like the Hebrew children. Nebuchadnezzar says, if you do not bow down to this golden idol, I'm throwing you into the furnace. And they says, well, our God will protect us, but even if he doesn't, we're not bound to that idol. See, that's a man or woman of God. The boss wants you to lie, I can't do that. I'm going to fire if you don't. Well, I just believe God will give me a better job, but I'm not going to violate the word of God. I'm not going to bring judgment on myself by lying for you. And that needs to be understood right up front when you take a job. I'm honest and I'm not lying for you or anybody else. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to anybody else. Amen. I'm not going to cheat anybody either. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to command those who do right. You see, Romans chapter 13 is St. Paul. 1 Peter chapter 2 is St. Peter. And they both say, submit to authority. Amen. Verse 14, are to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to command those who do right. See, they say almost the exact same thing. The government is there to protect you, and you are to honor and respect the government or those in authority. And not just the government, all authority, including mom and dad and the school teacher and the fireman, policeman, all authority. We have Paul and Peter both saying, submit to kings and governors and every authority. God requires submission to the authorities. If we do not submit, as I've already said, we may find ourselves in trouble with our boss, in trouble with the teacher, in trouble with the policeman. We need to respect authority. You see, there was a man here in the church years ago, and he said when he came to this church, he had a spirit of rebellion, and he was getting older, probably a little past middle age, and he said he was delivered from that spirit, and he said, all my life I've been in trouble because I've been just rebellious. He said, I was in the military for a few years, and when I came out, I was at the lowest rank because I kept getting in trouble. I was so rebellious, they would never promote me. They didn't kick me out, but they would not promote me. And he'd do mean things to the officers, like put salt in their coffee and all kinds of things. He was just full of it. And then he wasn't just a hillbilly. He had a great education and had a great job, made a lot of money. But he was still rebellious. And he came in one day, and now he had been saved, spirit-filled, and delivered, but the boss didn't know it, so he did something. Boss got mad and fired him. Yay. And basically said, I deserved it because of all the times I was rebellious and refused to do what he told me to do. But then God gave him an idea, and he began to make more money than he ever made before in his life. Why? Because he got delivered from that rebellion and started really, truly serving God and obeying God, and God began to bless him. And so there is a spirit of rebellion. And you can try to control it, but you're going to have a hard time controlling it. Get rid of it. Get people praying for you and get delivered from that thing. There is spirits of rebellion. You hear me talk about that sometimes. You may not believe that, but I'm a pastor. I've been here, been pastoring a long time. Okay, more than some of you have been alive. And I'm telling you right now, I've seen people that had a spirit of rebellion so strong they couldn't control it except with God. That's a spirit of poverty, which keeps you poor. That's a spirit of infirmity, which keeps you sick. And I'm an educated guy. I've earned doctorate, not in medicine. I'm not going to be writing any prescriptions. But I know the difference between viruses and germs and bad bacteria and all that stuff and demonic control. Both of those are out there. Can you say amen? There is a demonic spirit that has to be driven out. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be set free. It's nothing to be ashamed of. That's not your spirit. That's not your spirit rebellion. That's an evil spirit rebellion. Get rid of it. And if you said to somebody, you got a spirit rebellion, they get all offended. Hey, it's not your spirit. You know, it's a demonic spirit. Let's get rid of it. And I've had things myself I need to be delivered of. And never be embarrassed. Just ask God to deliver you and set you free. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, talking about leadership in the church, and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, verse 13, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You see, God has given us pastors and leaders and teachers in the church to teach us, train us, and to protect us. God speaks through delegated authority. And hopefully, I fast and pray about 3 hours a day. I pray about 3 hours a day, fast, about 110 days a year. So why in the world do you do that? Because when I walk out here, I want to have a word from God. Amen. And I want to know it. So hopefully, me and other preachers, when we walk out here, we're saying things that can help you be better and more, be a better Christian and be more successful this week at work than you were last week. Amen. And Michael, when he was talking during the fundraiser last year, he said that my sermons is like a success seminar because it teaches you how to be successful. And this lines right up with that. If you're going to be successful, you can't go around being rebellious against the authorities in your life. You've got to listen because God speaks through authorities. God even speaks to that crazy preacher if he's praying and seeking God. You see, God defends his delegated authority. Some of you are in authority. You have a place of business. You are a supervisor or a boss or a teacher or maybe a principal. And you're in a position of authority. God wants you to know that if you will accept that position, God will protect you from people who rebel against you. And so God sent me here today to tell you that. Don't be afraid of a position of authority. If God opens a door and God puts it in your heart to do it, you still need to hear and obey God. But look, Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. They did not approve of the woman he married. And this is Miriam, his sister, and his brother Aaron. This is a family. And they think, well, he's my brother. I can say anything I want to say. But God says, no, he's not just your brother. He's also my delegated authority. And don't you say anything bad about him. Period. Miriam, I believe, was the one who was watching over him when he's floating in the Nile River in a basket, keeping the alligators from eating him. I don't know what her job was, but when Pharaoh's daughter showed up, she said, would you like for me to get a Hebrew lady to nurse this baby? And she said, yes. Miriam went and got his very own mother to nurse him. Isn't that something? So she's thinking, this is my brother. I can say anything I want to say. Look at this. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Verse 2, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Aren't we just as spiritual as he is? We operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You say, they asked, Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. In verse 8 it says, with him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said the difference was that Moses was in authority and they were not. They were not called to lead the children of Israel. Moses was. They were called to support him and help him. And they did. They made a great team, the two brothers and the sister. And boy, Miriam had a great part in it. If you don't think God has a place for women, she had a major part in the success of their deliverance. She's a powerful woman. And she may have been the reason Moses survived in the Nile. Everyone used in the gifts, everyone used in the gifts, they're not God's authority. You can have the gift of healing and miracles and prophecy and everything else, but that doesn't mean God's called you to be an authority over anyone. Amen. God will always speak to his authority. Verse 9, the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. In an instant, she had leprosy, which means you're dead. This was Moses' older sister. Moses didn't want that. Aaron didn't want that. Amen. This wasn't about them. This was about delegated authority. Right. And God said, I don't care who you are. You're going to respect my authority. And I've had to learn that. Submitting to the governor and the mayor and not having in-person services, that was hard for me to do. Okay. I got just a little bit of rebellion. And sometimes it's not a bad thing. But God said, it don't matter what you think, you submit anyway. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. Verse 11, and he said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. What was the sin? Speaking against God's delegated authority. I did not write this. It's the Word of God. The New Testament says the Old Testament was written for our learning. You can learn a lot about how to be successful in life from reading all of God's Word. Amen. Amen. Verse 13, so Moses cried out to the Lord, oh God, please heal her. He didn't want her to die of leprosy. That was his sister. And God did heal her and restore her to ministry. Was God just defending Moses? No. He was defending his own authority. He was not even defending Moses for what he did. He didn't say what Moses did was right or wrong. He just says, don't you speak against my authority. You see, Moses was called to God, but the authority he had came from the boss of the universe, God. The issue was they did not respect delegated authority. Those who are attacking those in authority, I believe, are in real danger. And you need to know that when you're in a position of authority and somebody's really trying to destroy you, come against you, they had better be careful. Because God will fight for you. And over the years, I've seen God fight for me. And it really didn't have anything to do with me. It was God's authority. Yay. If a man's called to God and ordained to God, which I think all of you are, you may not have a great position of authority, but if you're called to God, God wants you to have the authority to get it done. Amen. And I mean, a ditch digger. You don't think of a ditch digger as being a man of God called to God. But if a guy's called of God to do that kind of work, you better leave him alone. Can you say amen and not interfere with him, try to harm him? Amen. I've watched this my whole life. God will defend the people he calls. Verse 2. wait a minute. I haven't read verse 1 yet. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. was trying to shorten it for you. Okay. Korah, Dathan, Amaram, and On became insolent and rose up against Moses. But now, you know, if God's going to go after his brother and sister, he's not going to let these guys get away with this. With them were 250 Israelite men. Well, look, you're really outnumbered. All these people disagree with you. Well, it doesn't matter if they agree or disagree. If God has spoken, he has spoken. And just because they're not hearing from God doesn't mean you're to bow to them. Just because they can't hear God doesn't mean that you can't hear God. And sometimes you've got to stand all along and say, no, this is right. I've heard from God. I'm standing here, live or die. It says, these men came against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. Council members or not, they had not heard from God. These men, were outstanding leaders, but they rebelled against God's delegated authority. Verse 3, they came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them. Is that right? They were in total rebellion against God. God didn't say them as holy. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly? You see, they are accusing Moses of taking too much authority. If a leader is doing what the Lord has asked him to do, he is not taking too much authority. If the mayor is doing what the law requires the mayor to do, he's not taking too much authority. Amen. Verse 30, Moses says, you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt. It wasn't Moses they were treating with contempt. They may have thought, they evidently thought so, but it was God they were going against. And he says, these men have treated the Lord with contempt. How will you know? Verse 31. So as soon as he finished saying this, now the New Testament once again says the Old Testament was written for our learning. We need to understand when people violate God's delegated authority, it's going to bring problems in their lives. And if you're a leader or in any position of authority, as long as you hear and obey God and do what God tells you to do, do what is right, God will fight for you. And as soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under their feet, under them, split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. Verse 33, they went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them and they perished and were gone from the community. Believe what you want to believe, but this says plainly, when you oppose God's delegated authority, God might just remove you. And God might just remove those people at work trying to get you fired. Can you say amen? Amen. John Uchai is a true man of God. Of course, he's from, is it Tanzania? His father worked in China. John Uchai grew up in China. He speaks Chinese. And so when he starts speaking Chinese, I just pray for the gift of interpretation. And but John is a true man of God. And he has this job. I think three or four different times he got a bad boss. And, of course, he's black. And I think time or two from what he described to me, it was racism. But God can handle racism. Well, that guy's a racist. God can take care of racists. Amen. And so he came to men's prayer meeting every Saturday morning. Pray for this boss. He's insulting me, calling me names in front of the other people. And one day he came in grinning. I said, why are you grinning? So they fired my boss. That's happened probably three or four times. Is that right, Chuck?
Yes.
Chuck's one of the leaders in the men's prayer meeting. And then last week, he came to me and said, they're talking about moving our whole company, I think it's to India. Is that where it was? And he says, I want you to agree with me and pray. God's going to keep me here. Right. Well, in fact, I'm going to keep John Uchai here if I have to nail his feet to the floor. Tie his shoes tight, nail his shoes to the floor. Well, I prayed like crazy. God worked this out. And he testified this morning that, was it yesterday he told us? He said that the company made a decision to leave John and one other guy here. Amen. To work here. Y'all paying attention to me? When you submit to authority, God will take care of you. And if you're in any position of authority, God will take care of you. And John has a powerful prayer meeting on Monday night, intercessory prayer meeting. And boy, I'm going to tell you, he knows how to get a hold of God. He's kind of like Alice. Those two people know how to. I'm not saying the rest of you don't. We all do to some degree. But boy, I'm telling you. Some people are called intercessory prayer. It's a little bit different. Both of them are called intercessory prayer. Amen. And to some degree, I am too. And that's why when you text me for prayer, I don't get irritated. I get thrilled. Oh, boy, I get to intercede. Okay. And so you're not bothering me when you text me. And most of you have my number. And so time to have been tempted to change it because maybe one or two people somewhere, not necessarily in this church, abuse it. But I want to keep that same number because I'm afraid some of you might need me not be able to get a hold of me. Can you say amen? Those who have God's delegated authority are responsible directly to God. So it's not a gravy train. When you abuse that authority, you will, I believe, answer to God. Numbers chapter 20, verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. I think it's interesting that God is saying, not only am I going to provide water for the people, I'm going to provide water for their livestock. God is not only interested in your well-being, but he wants your job, your career to be blessed. And their job, their career was livestock. And he said, I'm going to provide for your livestock so you can be blessed. But the people were complaining because they were out there in the wilderness and didn't have any water. And so Moses says, okay, Moses and Aaron, you go over there and speak to that rock, gather them around and let them see the miracle of God, and I will bring water out of that rock when you speak to it. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. Verse 10, he and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels, he got upset with the church. Don't get upset with God's people. Some of them can drive you bananas. Some of the pastors can drive you bananas too. But listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And I don't care if you are angry. It's no excuse to break the command of God or to break the law. Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Verse 11, then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. It appeared to be okay, because God provided the water anyway, but that wasn't what he was told to do. He's, why such a little thing? No, God's delegated authority is never a little thing. And if that delegated authority on you or me, and we violate that, it's going to bring some bad things in our lives if we don't repent pretty quickly and make it right. I'm conscious of that every day of my life. I always see myself as some big authority, but I'm calling God to get up here and give you a success seminar and give you the words you need for next week. And in a sense, that is authority because if you listen to the Word of God, if you ignore my comments and just listen to the Word of God, you'll have a better week. I know God gave me these scriptures. And it's not just for you to submit to authority. It's for you to know that people are required to submit to your authority. And if God called you to do that, it doesn't matter what it is, God is going to demand that people respect you. Amen. And if you're aware of that, it helps you to keep a smile on your face when you want to get upset and mad like Moses. Well, this don't look too good right now, but I know God's going to take care of me. Amen. Changes your whole attitude. You rule and reign in life. You put those things that irritate you under your feet because you know God's got it. And you take authority of the devil. Devil, you get under my feet. Get away from my ears. I'm not listening to you anymore. Verse, Numbers chapter 20, verse 12. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, because you did not honor me by doing what I said, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. He had promised Moses he'd be able to lead the people into the promised land. He says, because you disobeyed me, dishonored me, disrespected my authority, I'm not going to let you lead the people in. Wow. This thing is serious. And sometimes, well, I'm an authority, I'm a big shot. No, you're not. That's God's authority. And you're responsible to God not to violate it yourself. Somebody needs to say amen. That was terrible. Somebody needs to say a bigger amen.
Amen.
Okay. It's a weak amen. That's better. Because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring the community into the land I give you. When God gives a leader a command to do something, they need to do it. And if it's God, it'll work. God told me about 8 years ago, I want you to raise $40,000 a year and fix up this church. And I'm, we were struggling financially. I thought, Lord, how in the world are we going to raise? I kind of believed it in here because I thought I heard from God, but I had a hard time believing it up here. $40,000. We raised $40,000. And then the next few years, that guy started double it. And this past year, we always set a base goal of 40. We raised $135,000. We've raised a total of $650,000 to fix up this building in the last 8 years. All because the board heard it too, and then you heard it too, or you wouldn't have supported it, raised $40,000 to fix up this building. It is so important for us to hear everyone and act on the Word of God. If I fast and pray, God will speak to me. If you fast and pray, God will speak to you. And when me and the board says this is what we feel like God wants, then you'll know in your spirit that that's what God wants. See, that is true godly leadership when we all hear from God. God doesn't have two wills about one thing. He either wants us to raise $40,000 or he doesn't. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And the proof that you brought in the money proves you heard from God. Okay. Give yourself a big thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Is that the best you can do? Let me give you another chance. Give the Lord a big thank you. You see, Moses abused God's delegated authority by hitting the rock and not speaking to it. He disobeyed God and missed the promised land. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Now Moses is gone. He's dead. He's out of the picture. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. No one, here you go, you who are in authority or will be, and most of you, listen, if you're a mom, you're in a position of authority. If you're a dad, you're in a position of authority. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you, Joshua. So if you're a parent, God will ordain you to be the necessary authority. If you pray and ask God to help you, he'll help you take care of your kids. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God says no one will be able to stand against you or hinder you or stop you all the days of your life. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This is the scripture God gave me about 40 years ago. And the church hadn't been started very long, and I came to church, and there was some people there. They just didn't look right, sound right. I thought, what has the devil sent in here? I wasn't sure. But the Bible does say plainly that the devil sends tares into church and sends wolves in sheep clothing. And it's up to the pastor to discern them and to protect the flock. And so I went down to the mountain. I began to pray, God, what am I going to do? And I wasn't sure they were bad, but a lot of times God gave you a caution in your spirit, and you need to hear that and pray it through. So I went down to the mountains and I was praying, and God gave me this scripture. He says, no man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. That was about 40 years ago. So far, so good. The devil's brought a lot of characters in here, and God has moved them right in and right out. And that right hair, hair's been here forever. And don't misunderstand. Nobody's perfect, but there's some people just rebels sent by the devil. But all the rebels sent by the devil, raise your hand. Not a single one here. And I do believe that. There's not a single one here. Joshua 1:15, as the Lord commanded his servant Moses, so Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. You can see here the line of delegated authority. God spoke to Moses. Moses repeated it to Joshua, and Joshua did it. Joshua was a general that led the army in battle. And so, you know, he had to hear from Moses heard from God, and Moses told Joshua. So Joshua heard from God through Moses, and then the army heard from God through Moses and through Joshua when Joshua gave the order. Y'all pay attention. It's delegated authority, and they won their battle. One time even the sun stood still while they won the battle. So these were powerful men and women of God too, counting Miriam and the ladies that supported her. Moses gave Joshua instruction, and he did it. Why? Because he knew it wasn't just Moses, it was God. And even after Moses was dead, he still carried out all the words that Moses had spoken because he knew it came from God. Joshua 1:16. Then they answered Joshua, whoever, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. The people now tell Joshua, we're going to serve you and obey you just like we did Moses. Joshua is the new leader, and the people pledge to submit to his authority. Verse 17, just as we fully obeyed Moses. I don't know if I'd believe that or not, because they didn't always fully obey Moses. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. You can almost hear a little bit of threat there. You better hear from God and not lead us into any traps, or we're going to be after you. But as long as you hear from God, obey God, we'll follow you. That is the only Bible method of leadership. That's it. The leader hears from God, the people hear from God, and they do it together. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. As they are saying, we'll follow you, but you had better follow God as Moses did. This is the, if you get us in trouble, we'll stone you. Now you can imagine the next thing Joshua did was come up with his battle plan of marching around the walls. We march around once a day, 6 days, 7 days, 7 days, march around 7 times, let out a shout, blow the trumpets, and the wall will come down. And I'm sure some of us are thinking, boy, did we make a big mistake with this young new preacher? What a crazy idea. But he heard from God. And they believed in their leader enough to go march. Was he going to hurt? Go march. Guess what? The walls fell down. Because the man of God heard from God. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. You see, this is real godly Christian leadership. Verse 18, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey your words whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. You see, they agree to follow Joshua as he follows the Lord, but then they promise to defend him from rebels against him. He says, we'll take care of anybody that fights against you, that comes against you. You see, this is good example of the modern church leadership. Have people that you can trust, that hear from God, and follow that man or woman of God. We will never know victory in our lives until we submit to delegate authority. All authority belongs to God, but he delegates his authority to people. God defends his delegated authorities. And I think that's the main reason I'm preaching this, so that if God is calling you to a position of leadership in the company, the business, a church, or whatever, if you will hear from God and obey God, God will protect you from the people who don't like you. If you're a leader, it's going to be somebody that don't like you. It's hard to believe. There's anybody in the world that doesn't like me, but I found one or two. The devil will always raise up people. But God will protect you. God defends his delegated authority, but those who have God's delegated authority are responsible to God. Let's all stand.